Hello and welcome to this week's Irish Wolves podcast. My name is Tony Lawler, and with the international break upon us, we decided this week to dip into my reservoir of interviews with Irish Wolves supporters from all around the country. And this week I've selected Steve Edwards. Steve is from King Swinford in Wolverhampton and has been living in Ireland for a number of years now. So Steve has plenty of stories going back to the early 60s when he first attended a Wolves game up until the present day. I hope you'll enjoy it. Steve, how are you?
I'm very good. And yourself?
I'm great.
Good man.
Enjoying this fantastic weather we're having at the moment.
We are. It's just started raining here down in North Kerry, but it's not much anyway, so
yeah, I'm enjoying it. I heard it was on the way, all right for you.
Yeah. It'll save me watering my garden this evening, Tony. So, yeah. How bad.
True. Badly needed.
Yeah, sure is. We got my aunt coming over shortly from Dudley.
Yeah.
And coming for a visit. So we're mad keen. She's supposed to have been coming for the last 2 years, and she's been mad keen to see our new house.
Yeah.
Obviously, with the COVID, she couldn't come, and now they've lifted the restrictions. So yeah, we're going to bite the bullet and invite them over, and it'll be grand. It'll be grand.
And is life different for you in Kerry than from when you were in Cork?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, definitely. We're kind of semi-retired. I just do a bit of part-time work now. So, yeah, it's great. Oh, it's lovely. But the only thing is they're trying to build a wind farm directly out the back of my property. It's so quiet here at home.
Yeah.
It's just up a little tiny road. It's a cul-de-sac not far from Lixnor. But no, modern technology is catching up with us even here, I'm afraid to say.
Yeah. My son lives in Greystones. He bought a house there last year, and they're planning on putting a load of the wind farm in Dublin Bay.
So that
takes slightly away. He does not see what it about it, but I think it'll take away from your view, you know.
Yeah, it'll take away from ours because there's nothing. We can see Kerry Heads 10 miles away from the back of mine.
Yeah.
We're going to have a field of these wind farms, and they're going to be 170 meters high. It's some of the biggest in Europe, apparently.
Yeah.
Kerry's already carrying the biggest load for the size of the area.
Yeah.
In Ireland of wind farms already, you know, there's just loads of them, you know.
Yeah.
But it's not gone through yet. We're still waiting to put in our objections and stuff like that. So
yeah,
with a bit of luck, you never know.
And we get knocked on the head, yeah. So just getting things moving. Did you play football when you were a kid? You grew up in Wolverhampton, yeah?
I did, yeah, about 10 miles in the Black Country, away from Wolverhampton, and yeah, it was all football. Until they blew the whistle after the FA Cup final, the very next day, out came cricket stumps and a ball. And we were all up down the park playing cricket. It was like flicking a switch.
Yeah.
But me personally, yeah, I started playing Cub Scouts a year or so earlier, I suppose. And then I ended up captaining them and went on to play for the junior school.
Yeah.
The whole school used to get Wednesday afternoon off to watch us. It was fantastic. It was brilliant, actually. Loved it. I loved it as a spectator. And I had to have that yellow and green quartered jersey. It was like something from the 1940s, honestly, Tony.
Yeah.
This top. But I had to have it, you know, and I got it. That was great. We were pretty successful.
And then I
played off and on then. I had a break from playing from 16. I was called to play for the last 2 years for the school rugby team.
Yeah.
And I'd been playing for them since I was about 14, the first 15. But our school did soccer for the first half of the academic year up until Christmas. And then our rugby orientated headmaster made us play rugby in the second half.
Yeah.
But in the final couple of years, I had to play rugby for the whole year. So I was considered good enough for that.
Yeah.
So I didn't play any soccer then from 16 until probably 25. And I started playing again then and went on to play for the MEB and the Wolverhampton Works League, which used to be a pretty good league in those days.
Yeah.
And then I played at various places we've lived around the country, ending up with Enniskine Celtic in the West Cork League, would you believe?
Yeah.
And that was interesting too. Yeah, we had a great time. We had a great time. We didn't win many matches, but we won the drinking competitions, I tell you that.
Yeah, yeah.
Round and about.
I think Republicans
looked after us, you know.
Yeah, and it's funny, I always think about the later stages of junior football and that a lot of guys' careers were ruined by drink, you know, but I think a lot of cases, I think the actually careers were extended by drink, you know, because it was a great excuse, get out of the house for the match and, you know, go for a few points afterwards, you know.
Yeah, and more sobering note though, Tony, a friend of mine who was very involved in managing, we played together all the way through school.
Yeah.
Up until our early mid-30s. And he went on to manage teams afterwards. And he took a team to, all the way through to winning the Kidderminster Sunday League, I think it would be.
Yeah.
Now, I never went to watch them because we were living away.
Yeah.
But that was about as good as you could get in the West Midlands, apart from the big Birmingham division.
Yeah.
And all had to be private pitches, et cetera, et cetera. And he says that, he told me a couple of years back that so many teams had gone, and there were only like five divisions in the kiddie league.
Yeah.
And the Wolverhampton Works was down to one or maybe two divisions, you know. Yeah. And I looked at it, I picked up a Sporting Star, and just to have a look, where there used to be a page of junior football, there was just a few lines, you know, just a few leagues showing, you know, there's so many gone.
Yeah,
just so many. It's frightening, really. Where are the people getting their exercise? You know.
Well, that's it, yeah. Because I see it here in where I am now, and I'm involved in refereeing, and the leagues every year are shrinking and shrinking. There's one amateur league in Dublin that's completely over 35 league. They used to have about eight divisions Saturday and Sunday, and now they're down to I think three or four divisions. But it's all over 35s. Some Leinster Football League, I think they have about five divisions. When they used to have, you know, one column in the newspaper wouldn't take all the fixtures they had for about, you know, maybe 20 divisions going back 10, 15 years ago.
Yeah. How's the kids, how's the underage soccer doing up that way? Is that still thriving?
It's good. It started back with friendlies and that. The leagues are kind of deciding whether they're going to do summer or start back in September. But again, I think with the League of Ireland, underage going right down to 15s now. I think plans going to 13s. I think they're taking a lot of players away from Dublin schoolboy football anyway. Yeah, again, the divisions seem to be, what they're doing is they're keeping maybe six or seven divisions and they're just putting six or eight teams in them. They're making the group smaller, you know, to try and have a bit more balance. But yeah, I've definitely seen it. And I was hoping it wouldn't happen, but I had an awful feeling the last year and a half that an awful lot of kids in the late teens, where it's normally the highest proportion of kids that drop out is in kind of 16, 17 onwards when they start smelling themselves and, you know, have other things to be thinking about. So, I think that the pandemic may have compounded that, you know, two years without kicking a ball. They're just going to say, I'm enjoying plenty of other things in life, you know, so hopefully not.
Video games, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
People have a lot of that way, I'm afraid to say, you know.
Yeah, yeah. So, anyway, how did Wolverhampton Wanderers come into your life?
Well, I'm from a very heavily Wolves area, not exclusively. We do have some West Birmingham fans around back in my area.
Yeah.
Very few Blue, and probably hardly any Villa either. It was just like 75% Wolves.
Yeah. Where was that?
It's a place called King Swinford.
Yeah.
It's not far from the Kingfisher nightclub. I think you might have gone there once for a Robbie Dennison do. I don't know whether you're in on that.
I wasn't at that one. No.
Yeah, it's sort of on the road to Stourbridge, really.
Yeah.
The 449. You'll be going to the, not far off the 449.
Yeah.
But that's it'd be like school playing for playground, there'd be two gangs, Wolves and Albion, and I was just Wolves all the time, you know. My old fella, interestingly, he works at Longbridge at the car factory, and he came back Birmingham City top, whether one of his friends had given it to him or something, but he came, I can see it now, I don't think I'd never wore it, like. And I looked at it, and my old girl looked at me, mother looked at it, you know, what, there were no Birmingham City fans anyway. Anyway, there was the full, it was the all gold wall strip.
Yeah.
And Dugan's fame. And it was a very yellowy top, really.
Yeah.
But the short shades, they were almost orange, you know.
Yeah.
the very light gold socks again, like, so yeah. That was it then. He wasn't a great soccer fan to begin with, my father.
Yeah.
He became a season older and went for many years, like, after that. But, yeah, it was always going to be Wolves, and we don't tolerate them from West Brom, not where I'm from.
Yeah, we were going over to a game a few years ago, and unusually, we were getting off the plane, and there was a guy and his son with the old baggy tops, you know, when we arrived in Birmingham, and Mick, the old Mick, was walking past, you know, and he had a scarf, and he rubbed the scarf on the shoulder of the young lad, you know, and the father nearly lost it, you know. He was going, "Oh, don't touch me with that." He was going, "Oh, geez," you know, but no better man than Mick to do it, you know. But you can sense the rivalry.
John Philpott, he's an Albion fan of long standing, and he went for his first game. He actually booked in a hotel in West Bromwich, should we call it?
Yeah.
And he said, "Never again. I'm never staying there again." And every time he went subsequently, he booked into Birmingham. They had a great time. You know what I mean?
But yeah.
Wouldn't stay around there anymore. But, very good on you.
So, what was your first game, Steve?
My first Wolves game was away at Man U. I was with my uncle and my father and my cousin. He was a season ticket holder up there, my uncle, because he ran a finishing mill some 14 miles away from Manchester, just over the border into the West Riding of Yorkshire.
Yeah.
But anyway, he took us to, it was 2-2. I think Best scored. It was one of his first games. I'm not saying it was his first game. Yeah.
What year was that?
I think it was 64 or 65, like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was hooked, obviously, after that, you know, and then I was clamouring for my parents to take me. Sometimes it would be my mother would take me, and sometimes it would be my dad.
Yeah.
But we used to start off with the old J Wing stand in the corner of the South Bank, more or less opposite what I call Condom Corner, but, you know, the open the open side of the South Bank. We were in the opposite side.
Yeah, yeah.
Great. It was great. Loved it. Saw some great games early on. Because we got relegated just after that, and I can remember vividly beating Portsmouth 8-2.
Yeah.
John Milkins in goal. The poor man had backache picking it out of the back of the net. But one of my favourite players then, Dougie Woodfield, centre half.
Yeah.
Some repute. He could head the ball half the pitch, you know.
Yeah.
Tremendous player. He actually got two goals that day.
Yeah.
I was delighted with that. And then we beat Cardiff 7-1. I think that was the same season. It must have been.
Yeah.
And we had a 4-1 or home result against Ipswich with Danny Heagan playing for Ipswich, who later joined us.
Yeah.
An interesting, very good player. I remember Dugan saying he was the best midfielder he ever played with. But Kenny Hibbert might have something to say about that, I'd say.
Oh, I think a lot of, yeah. But yeah, definitely.
Great times in that championship. You know, getting out of the old second division.
Second division.
You know, we're unlucky. We managed to do it after that, like, but it was great. They were the day rattles.
Yeah. So you could have you mentioned a couple of memorable games from that season, but what other games over the years now spring to mind as been classics to be at?
Yeah, I thought of that, but it's one I've often told people, and I've never heard anybody else say it. But my two best matches, the ones I was most keyed up at, were both against Ipswich. And both at Portman Road.
Yeah.
One was the 2 in the cup, and I think the other one was 0-0. I think that was also the cup. It was in the days of Mariner, and Kindon actually played in their second game. But they were tremendous games against an Ipswich side that, in my opinion, were playing the classiest soccer of the time. You know,
yeah.
They were great games. Where the local guy from where I'm from was in goal for Ipswich, a certain Paul Cooper.
Yeah.
From Brockmer,
yeah.
Near Briley Hill. Great keeper.
Yeah.
They were just great games. But they were games, I mean, there were so many Wolves fans packed in that behind that goal. I used to smoke in the day.
Yeah.
And it took about 10 minutes to roll a cigarette because it was one hand at a time down to the pocket to get the papers. And you couldn't believe it. It was so dangerous being in there.
You were jammed into the place.
They were great games, absolutely great games.
Yeah.
And the other one that really springs to mind is we thrashed Arsenal 5-1 at home after being 1-0 down. I think we were 1-0 down hot. And they came back and Wagstaff and Hibbert and I think Sunderland just destroyed them. Calliard got a goal, I think.
Yeah.
But what a game. They I think they were champions at the time.
Early 70s, yeah.
Yeah, early 70s.
They would have done the double in, was it 71 they did the double, didn't they? Yeah. They did a double in 70-71. They beat Liverpool. Did they beat Liverpool? And then they won the league. And so it must have been the year after that then, yeah.
Could be. I know because Kennedy, big fella Kennedy, he scored.
Yeah.
He ended up with a disease, didn't he?
Parkinson's he had.
Yeah.
Because I remember in people looking back, I think he passed away a few years ago, but they're saying in his later career at Liverpool that looking back, some of his fellow players were saying you could actually see signs of it even. So he was going to say, mid-30s, that they looking back, they kind of saw signs in training and the way he was running that, things weren't quite right. But wonderful player. But like even that Ipswich team, I saw a picture of that Ipswich team you were talking about there during the week.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I could rattle off all the names, So, I mean, that's unusual for the team that's not yours that you can, fantastic players.
The little blonde left winger. I couldn't think of his name.
Wasn't Gates, was it? Eric Gates.
Would have been Eric Gates. Little blondie fella. Bloody good he was.
Alan Brazil was there as well. He was there. But he wasn't small.
He was. I was playing in that match, to be honest with you, but... They got Tyson as well, hadn't they, back in those days? Franz Tyson.
Yeah, they had Murren as well. He went to United again after that. Did you say Paul Mariner, Mick Mills, Kevin Beattie.
And John Walk as well.
Yeah.
He was there at the end of the year, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, John Walk, cracking player. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So, fantastic. Great games. Yeah, I've been back to Ipswich quite a few times afterwards and really enjoyed it. They moved the away. The away section on us.
Yeah.
And I've gone down with Peter and two friends of ours, and they tried to tell us to go in this side. And I said, no, I know where I'm going.
Yeah.
Can't fool me. And we ended up right in the Ipswich end when they were bringing the FA Cup, because they just won that, round on a big guy horse, and we were in the wrong end.
Any more recent games that you'd find memorable as well, the last years?
Oh, the 1-0 against United when Kenny Miller scored has got to be in everybody's book. I was watching that back in West Cork. I did a knee slide, epic proportion. The TV friends from Band and Johnny Five Pines, we both got 20 quid on it.
Yeah.
And we won a full fortune on that. But anybody beating United is brilliant, you know what I mean? That was great. Kenny Miller, tremendous player. We deserved it that day too. Matches. The European games just recently were brilliant. I remember that. I went through the whole. I never went to any away matches when we got to the UEFA Cup final. But I went to all the home games, and this run was just as good as that. I tell you.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed it this time. So that run was brilliant. But. Another match was a defeat, right? And we lost 3-2 at Derby County.
Yeah.
Right? A lot of people have spoken about this on Wolves forums.
Yeah.
But we were 3-0 down before half-time. And just before half-time, I was with a guy, Brian Pugh, used to go to school with him. I said, come on, we'll go down and get a drink. You know, this was about 5 minutes before half time. And just as we were going down to go and get a bottle of beer, they started singing, "Those Were the Days." Those were the days, my friend.
Yeah.
Okay. It started off and it went two or three choruses. So we sort of joined in a bit, you know. And then it was one of those Wolves experiences. I don't know how to explain them, but you knew there was something electric in the air.
Yeah.
You know, you just... Sometimes you're at matches and these things are happening. Very often they wouldn't. Yeah. But they just carry on singing it. And John Richards, I've seen the piece that he put. He said they could hear it in the dressing room at halftime.
Yeah.
People came back from the bar. The police ringed it in front. There was no chance of us going on the pitch. We were too knackered from singing this bloody song repeat.
Yeah.
And he went on at least 10 minutes in the second half. Yeah. Of course, we got two goals back. To my recollection, I'm sure it was 3-2 in the end anyway.
Yeah.
And it was so close to 3, but both sides of players have said they've never experienced anything like it. And as a fan, I never did before or since. It was amazing. Maybe there was only 3,000 of us, but it made the noise of, treble that.
Yeah.
Even the Derby open-mouthed at it, it's one of those experiences. experiences again, you know.
Yeah. And but, I have away matches with 3,000. I've said it to a couple of people over the last few months that, you know, if you could get that sound, even with Molyneux holding 10 times that number of people, if you could get, you know, an extra 50% of what you get from the 3,000 sometimes at away matches into Molyneux would be brilliant. Although there have been some great nights. Again, mentioning United, we love mentioning beating United, but we got into a habit of it in the league and cup there a couple of years ago. And like the atmosphere in Molyneux those nights was pretty special now, with the lights and fireworks and everything really set it off.
They were fairly quiet, you know, they were a quiet affair. But not the Wolves, no, on a good night is not a quiet affair, and the Wolves away can be very interesting, let's put it that way.
Getting on to players then, who would have been your favourite players over the years? I'll say players because I'm sure you've a few.
It's got to go in eras, really, because I've been going for 55 years now. And I've got to say, Ron Flowers was my hero as a kid. You know, he was the big wolf when I was there.
Yeah.
And so much respect from opposition fans and everything. Definitely Ron Flowers.
Yeah.
Then I was Dave Wagstaff and Derek Dugan, obviously.
Yeah.
I mean, he rode... he could have taken any election in Wolverhampton if he'd have just so decided to. He was Wolverhampton in the end, you know. Well, I mean, what to say about the man's failings? He really was. He was the king of Wolverhampton, okay. Yeah. But Kenny Hibbett, my all-time midfielder, has got to be, really, because we had so many years of him and watched him develop from a very young man. He wasn't much older than me when he signed, you know.
Yeah.
And we saw him come on very quickly.
Yeah.
And have such an old head on young shoulders. He was brilliant. He weighed in with goals, which was got to give him the nod over Moutinho. Moutinho has done things in the last few years that are just unreal. I never thought I'd see it in the Wolves jersey, really. He was brilliant.
Yeah.
But Kenny Hibbett had goal, though, you know.
Oh, Kenny would have had the extra the plenty of years on him on the pitch for Wolves anyway. Yeah, but I the same every time. Moutinho was just one word anyone has to say on him off. You know, I just think he was fantastic.
Yeah.
At the stage of career he came to us, a lot of guys would be putting the feet up for a nice little payday to finish off the career. But God, he's given us everything. Yeah. You know, he's been fantastic.
Oh, look at his involvement, his tackles. You know, is it the amount of times he touches the ball? That's no retirement payday, like, you know what I mean? He doesn't like losing, by all accounts.
No.
And you can see it. He wears his heart on his sleeve when anything goes wrong. He doesn't like losing, that fella. And that's the thing I like to see. You know?
And even in training, I think they say he's, you know, he has to be, everything has to be perfect. And he puts everything into a training session. And the next training session...
Yeah.
His aim is that it's going to be better than the previous. He's just training session, never mind performances on the pitch. So he's a model professional. Hopefully he'll stick around for a year or two and bring the younger lads on, you know.
That would be great. I'd love to see him in some sort of role like that, you know.
Yeah.
If not now, later, you know. He'd be worth instilling that belief and that determination into kids has got to be good. Kids that are going to go on anyway.
It seems to be such a kind of volatile market now where, you know, we seem to bring in a stream of players and they're chew them up and spit them out or keep them dependent, but it seems to be a huge turnover these days, you know. It's a tough business.
There's quite a few lads gone from my Liam, you know, my youngest son's team, either, you know, College Corinthians or the Cork side, and there's another young lad, Crystal Palace. And I just hope it comes off for him, Tony, you know, and they're all capable of making a professional living. Boy, I hope it comes off for him, because to come back or to go into finding work later on, it's got to be difficult for him.
Yeah.
It's
such a thin line between making it and not making it, you know, and, you know, the best guy could go over and he could feel a bit homesick, not settling in. It could just be the wrong club at the wrong time. You know, he could decide to move and it could be the best thing. Or it could be the worst thing. And I think it's like everything, you know, lads coming home from England that haven't made it, it must be traumatic, you know, going back to the old friends and people that you know, that you grew up with and kind of, and I mean, you know, there's no way around it, but saying like they have to feel like they, you know, they failed, they haven't made it, and You know, it can be very, I'd say, mentally it must be tough to take, you know?
Yeah.
You know?
There's an interesting bit on Wolves, or one of the social media ones, about a fella that played one game for Wolves. Can't think of his name now. But anyway, he ended up playing for loads of teams in Wales and everything. Yeah. And he's now down on the south coast of England as a plumber, and he's been involved with teams. It was a great story.
Yeah.
Absolutely great. I'll have to find it for you. But, you know, and he stayed involved in the game, you know, and just involved with his lad playing as well. But there's a good many would just turn their back on it, go a different direction. I hope it comes off for these young lads, because knowing them, you know, it makes it a bit more personal.
Yeah, it does,
Another little story before we can move on. Kenny Hibbs. I was invited by the publican of my local back in King Swinford to go on a celebrity amateur golf tournament as a caddy. But he was paired with Kenny Hibbs. And Andy Gray was paired with this friend of the publican, right?
Yeah.
So I was caddying, I was a big Andy Gray, Kenny Hibbett fan, like.
Yeah.
And we went round this golf course, and they won it, Hibbett and John Froggy, his name was, who was the publican. And they were both nearly scratch golfers, right? Yeah. They were very good. Andy Gray, he could have played with a cricket bat and not been any worse, you know what I mean? He was absolutely terrible. And we went in and had a game of snooker after that waiting for this celebrity meal and everything. And he was useless at snooker as well. And he was absolutely useless. But he wanted to win, and he expected to win.
Yeah.
He expected to win golf, you know. It's that single-minded mentality, isn't it? You know what I mean?
Yeah,
can make the difference with these fellas. Kenny Hibbett, a bit more studious. He went about practicing golf and his snooker, and he was good. Andy Gray, no, I'll keep bludgeoning away until it works for me. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
And of course, mostly it did. You know, some great goals for Everton.
Yeah,
mixed time at the Wolves, but another great player.
Yeah,
I can't believe I missed his name out there.
But moving on to the manager scene, who would have been your favourite Wolves managers over the years?
I got to say Nuno.
Yeah.
Top of the range. Yeah. Until the day we played Southampton at home in the FA Cup.
In the Cup. Yeah.
Yeah. And I didn't watch another game last season after that.
No.
I couldn't. I didn't know many of the results either. I just switched off completely.
Yeah.
But when he was leaving, last game at home to United. And I still think he's a fantastic bloke, fantastic person.
Yeah.
But I don't know how anybody can do that to a football team. Or a set of supporters that Strokey pulled against Southampton at home in the Cup.
Yeah, a lot of people have kind of different, both sides of the argument on it. Yeah,
yeah.
Kind of when we beat them in the league, I suppose the week later, kind of for a lot of people, myself included, it was maybe the better outcome. But I suppose I think the unfortunate thing from his point of view was when the draw came out for the other rounds, like. We would have had a very handy kind of run if we'd won it, but I just Southampton have always been a kind of bogey team for us, or you know, they always seem to give us trouble, but we'll park that though. The others, who would have been the other managers that you would have had a good time?
I got a lot of time for Bonnie Allen back in the day, and Dave Jones did a good job, Mick McCarthy. He knitted and crocheted a team together from nothing.
Yeah.
You know?
He cobbled a bit of it together as well.
He did too. He had some bits of luck.
Yeah.
but look at that. I mean, he entertained us for a good few years, Tony. And a smashing fella. He lived in an area where Linda's from, not far from where I'm from. And him and Clipboard used to cycle around the place, dropping the pub for a quick pint, you know, never more. And was well thought of locally. Both of them were, you know.
Yeah.
So, a lot of time for Mick. I think he'd run his course, you know.
And
you don't survive losing 5-1 at home to West Birmingham, I'm afraid. You just don't.
No. And I was at that game, and, you know, it was funny. We were 1-0 down, and just before half time, it was Fletcher equalised. But it's you know, as you were saying about the Ipswich game and getting a feeling with the fans being behind it. I mean, that day, it's funny, 1-1 at halftime and against their greatest rivals. And I think the general opinion with everyone around was, how the hell are we drawing this game 1-1? You know, we should have been gone by half time, and then the second half just got, you know, it as you say, knitted and cobbled together. All the stitches just started falling out in the second half. You know, there were guys kicking the ball backwards, Johnson having nightmares, and it was awful to see. You know, everything just seemed to fall apart in one half of football. You know,
but watching it on the TV, mate, I tell you, it was awful.
Yeah,
you know, awful.
Yeah,
thanks to Mick anyway. I mean, he did a great job on the whole. He did a great job for us in limited circumstances. I felt sorry for Dave Jones.
Yeah,
not getting money.
Yeah,
I'd heard that in the close season, because a lad that used to play for Wolves went on. He never played in the first team, but he went on to play for Hensford. I won't mention his name.
Yeah,
but he was down a fellow that rears greyhounds in West Cork, and he was there, and I went down to meet him, and we were told 5 million, and that was it. That was the money available, and that was just wasn't good enough. I thought it was a joke.
Yeah,
but no, it was rough, right?
Yeah.
You know? That's about all.
Yeah, true.
And so he was kind of, his hands were tied, like.
Yeah.
Like Barnwell. John Barnwell was a good manager at the time.
Yeah.
Like, players together. He was unfortunate with his accident.
Yeah.
But he was a good manager. And I think he was well thought of in the game, because he went on to become the secretary of the League Managers Association, I believe.
Yeah.
Chair. You know, a great fan of Mr. Hoddle, Goddle, as we call him. No, couldn't buy that one.
Well, he's still making a living out of football anyway, Mr. Hoddle, on BT or whatever.
He's still stealing a living out of football, right? He was one of the, I can say good for Hoddle, he was one of the few fellas that could control Steve Bull.
Yeah.
Yeah. He played centre-half against Bully on at least two occasions that I saw. I think for Swindon. And he got Bully in his pocket.
Yeah.
And the other fella was Russell Osman. Do you remember him? Played for Ipswich for a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah, no change either. You know, curious how some that have the drop on you. You know,
it's just so funny.
His nemesis, I'm afraid, Mr. Hoddle and Russell Osman. Yeah. Interesting game developed with them three lads. You know, very good players themselves. I got to say, but not as a manager of Wolves.
Oh, he found his limit. Just as we'll kind of be wrapping up, our time wise we're flying along.
Okay.
Just suppose we'll finish hopefully on a positive note. What are you hoping for with our new manager and new season?
Well, let's be reasonable. It's a big change, a big upheaval. I think there may be one or two upheavals before the season starts. So I'm looking for survival, you know.
Yeah.
Survival without shredding our nerves.
Yeah,
I hope they develop. Now, they've got a lot of kids there. Rumours about buying more. But let them develop. Now, this fella, Bruno Lage, if I get it right, he's been 20 years in developing kids, this fella, apparently.
Yeah.
And a lot of under-21s, under-17 teams. Now, if he brings something, and he should be that background, perhaps he'll get youngsters to gel and develop their. One thing I hope is that the crowd don't turn on Fosun if he doesn't go well at the start.
Yeah.
They're missing Nuno already. We all know that.
Yeah.
They were a bit disappointed with last year. There were many reasons for last year. The fact that they played for 12 or 13 months with scarcely a break, you know.
Yeah.
I could run out a lot of excuses for last year, but they're all excuses.
Yeah.
I just hope the crowd don't turn on them.
Yeah.
You know, don't expect them to. I think everybody's fairly grown up these days.
Yeah.
And I'm looking forward to seeing this new keeper, Jose Sarr.
Yeah.
Seen a good him on the video streams. I think he's pretty good.
Yeah.
So we're missing a good one, but sometimes Rui, if he thought he wasn't going to get it, did he really, you know, did he throw himself at it too much? He did for Portugal in the Euros. We saw that, didn't we?
Yeah.
Keeper at the Euros than Rui, I gotta say, but I'm kind of looking forward to it. See what this Lage brings. Could be good, but
hopefully.
Oh yeah, one piece you'd put favorite piece of memorabilia. Got to mention that.
Yeah,
I've got an enamel badge. I don't know whether you ever seen me wearing this. There's a little, you know, the pin badge like that. Moscow wool.
Yeah,
I got it off the internet, and it's from some ice skating team in Moscow, and they're gold and black, would you believe?
Yeah.
And all he says is Moscow Wolves. Like, I just send off for it, and it comes only a couple of quid. Like, but a lot of relations in Moscow, because my grandfather was Russian. So to show off, like, saying, ah, this is all the family, you know, I tell people when they see it, you know what I mean? This is my family in Moscow supporting the war sort of thing, you know. Yeah. Yeah, it's just one of those daft.
You could register them as a club.
Yeah, they're on the board in the International Supporters Lounge. Yeah. There is a branch in Moscow, so yeah. I hope I'll make it my mission to get in touch with them, and perhaps next time I go to Moscow to meet the family, I'll try and team up with them. It'd be interesting, wouldn't it?
This is Steve. It's been great talking to you. We've had a great old memories shared. So and sure, hopefully in the new season we'll be meeting up for a game, and
we'll see how everything goes first. Yeah, we're still leery, could say, international travel, but
hopefully we'll get there. All right, I'll see you, Steve.
Okay, cheers, Tony.
I hope you enjoyed today's podcast. Join us again next week for some more interesting stories from fans and from former players. Until then, I wish you the best for the next week. And you can follow us on IrishWolves.org on our website or on Irish Wolves on Facebook. Thanks. See you next week.